Welcome to Executives After Hours, real conversations with real leaders. This is your host, Dr. James Kelly. I want to make you a promise that over the next 60 minutes, you will learn at a minimum two things. One, every leader and executive makes mistakes on the way to the top. And two, and more importantly, everyone has a unique story to tell. And that's what we do here on Executive After Hours. We sit down with leaders across a variety of industries, and we talk to them about their unique story. So welcome to the community, and stay tuned for today's episode on your Executives After Hours. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Executives After Hours. This is your host, Dr. Dennis Kelly. On today's episode, I had the pleasure to speak with Mr. Justin Batt. Justin is the founder of Daddy Saturday. Essentially, what he is in that capacity is a really rad dad that came up with a concept, and he has a forthcoming book coming out this spring as well, same title, Daddy Saturday. He's also the chair of health and sports business for Forbes Books. Justin and I have an awesome conversation, a lot of dad talk. You know, he's a dad of four, and in essence, you know, his whole story kind of started around his wife owning her own business and him having to be, in his own words, an epic dad creating epic Saturdays. He's a better person than I, which I have a dad of four. I could never do it, and I could always learn from it. So a lot of talk about dad talk, about what he does at Forbes. And as always, get the full interview on my website at www.drjameskelly.com. Get all my recent blogs. I recently was named a leading expert on leadership for Medium, which is also where my blogs go. It's just medium.com as well. Then it's over to Global Thrive Global as well. So awesome. Yay me. And have a read of those blogs. What do you think? These are all excerpts and concepts coming from my book. That's April 23rd, The Crucible's Gift, Five Lessons from Authentic Leaders Who Thrive in Adversity. All right, everyone have a wonderful day. Follow me, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that jazz. Leave a review. See you. So how are you, Justin?
I'm doing great. I'm so honored to speak with you today.
Dude, can I just start off by you're just currently crushing this Daddy Saturday thing?
No, thank you. You're so kind. I really appreciate it.
So, you know, like I see you have a book, and then I also was doing some research, and you have another book you've co-written, and, you know, you're kind of going down this path. So I'm not even trying to start the podcast. I'm just really curious, like where did this whole Daddy Saturday thing start?
So, you know, I'm happy to give you the background because it's one of the things that happened to me, not that it was intentional, although now my whole platform is about being intentional. My wife has owned a bridal boutique, so she sells wedding dresses, for about the last 10 years. And during that time, her busy day is Saturdays, and so she has worked her store, and I've supported her in that. And our oldest daughter is now 10 years old. And so starting with her all the way through now all four of our kids, I just naturally took the kids on Saturday so she could work. And about halfway into that time frame, 5 years or so ago, I found out quickly that I couldn't just loaf my way into a Saturday. The kids had expectations of me. They wanted it to be fun, and they knew it was just dad on Saturday. And so they named it Daddy Saturday. That was them. And I just decided that I was going to be intentional, start creating epic moments with them. And we decided to start filming it. So those episodes, many of them are now on YouTube, and that started our channel and the platform. And then there were neighbors and other folks in the community and other folks on social that started to say, this is so cool. We want to do the same thing. Tell us more about it. And so it's become a platform that's much bigger than me at this point.
So that's awesome. So it's funny. I mean, obviously I'm a dad of four as well. And my wife's a triathlon coach and triathlete, so she's busy at all sorts of random times. And so, you know, as a dad of four, I kind of came from this old school upbringing where the parent's job is not to entertain the kids. And so, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's not a judgment whatsoever. In fact, you probably could argue that it's wrong more than right. But do you find that now your kids have this expectation of just grandiose events every weekend, like a trip to the moon soon, or I don't know.
I love the question. And yes, you know, there, everything is a double-edged sword. And so I have created a monster in my own household, and my kids do expect me to entertain and engage them at an extremely high level. In fact, coming off of Thanksgiving, you know, I was home Thursday with them. My wife actually worked Friday and Saturday, so we had a double day. And then we were all together on Sunday. And my oldest son on Sunday is like badgering me to go outside and play. And I looked at him and I said, "Bud, I literally spent the last 3 days with you. We just had an epic Daddy Saturday yesterday and spent, you know, 8 hours together engaged and playing and having fun. I just want to hang out right now. Like, I don't want to go out and play outside." and that needs to be okay. So yeah, we do have to deal with it now. And I think as the platform gets bigger, there's going to be managing some of those expectations. But what I would say is that, you know, obviously that's an incredible trade-off to have, because totally. I come from the same old school mentality where, you know, it was very focused when your dad was engaging you, and it was around certain opportunities to, you know, maybe you're going out to practice a sport, or, you know, you were hunting or fishing or whatever your dad did with you, but it was around a certain thing that often benefited them. Yeah. And the crazy thing about what I've created is this is all about the kids, right? I mean, this has nothing to do with me at all.
I'm so laughing because I try to figure out ways that I can have fun to bring the kids into it. So basically the first scenario is kind of what I end up doing. Like, all right, how can I get my kids to play golf with me? What can I do? Like, how can I get that to be?
Yes. Exactly.
I feel like your way may be better. I'm not going to place judgment that it is or is not, but I feel like maybe it is. But for me, the amount of energy that it takes, right? So let's back up, because I'm kind of curious, where are you originally from?
So I'm from Ohio. I'm a Midwesterner. Right. That's grew right. up in a very small town in the middle of cornfields, and the claim to fame to my hometown is that the Etch-a-Sketch and the Dum Dum Sucker are both made there. Two items which pretty much everyone knows, iconic items.
What's the name of the town? I went to the University of Dayton.
I forgot this too. So you're a flyer. Yeah. My hometown is called Bryan, Ohio. So it's about 2 hours north of Dayton, okay. Way up in the northwest corner of the state.
Yeah. Okay. So what was it like growing up in Ohio? You know, I have such a mixed emotion about that state. So what was it like growing up in Ohio? Like, how big was the town?
The town was, when I grew up there, between 10, maybe 15,000 at most. So very small town. You know, one of the best small towns in America every year, year in and year out, because nothing happened there. So there's nothing to the good or the bad to draw one way or the other.
Yeah.
It was a very safe and fun place to grow up. Small town America, you know, football was the big thing to do on Friday nights, basketball during the winter, and then baseball during the spring. And it was all about the local home team. And that was it. And I'll tell you, I got out of there as fast as I could. And that's what took me to Clemson, South Carolina. Drew me south. And everyone always asks, how did you get to Clemson from Ohio? And my answer is Southern weather, Southern women, Southern food, and Southern football. And I married a Southern girl, yeah. And I've indulged in all three of those and still live here. So
yeah. I would say the food is probably the least beneficial in the long term, but the other three sound pretty good.
Yeah. The gravy on everything, yeah. Smothered.
So I was thinking about, cause Ohio, I mean, I met 1,000 Ohioans when I went there, and they're such amazing people. And so, like, did you have a brother and sister that also just kind of like skedaddled out of the town as well?
No, my sister and I are actually complete opposites. So I have a younger sister, yeah. Two siblings in the family, and she stayed, went to school at Bowling Green, which was 45 minutes from her hometown, and stayed close to home. Now lives in Columbus and was much more of a homebody than, yeah. I was. Very different personality styles.
So, all right. So, you know, as you've, I think you listened to a podcast in the past, and if not, I'm going to pretend that you have, so you know what I'm doing.
I have.
I'm obviously super sarcastic. The thing that I think is really something that always draws me into individuals like you who come up with these really unique concepts, like Daddy Saturday, for example, is that your path, I'm always curious if your path is a reflection of your path. I'm sorry. Your path is a reflection of your past. So you kind of said that your dad would only engage with you certain moments, if it was around a sport or something like that. So when you started creating this, were you trying to, and I'll give you a reason why I'm asking this question in a second. Were you trying to kind of fill something that you wish you had more of as a kid?
So it's a great question. And my dad was very good about spending time with me. So he would engage me a lot. But now looking back, much of that was about his agenda. You know, he wanted to see me succeed as an athlete because that gave him fulfillment. And my dad was a really good dad, mm-hmm. and I have no complaints whatsoever. But later in life, I looked back and I realized one of the reasons why he spent time with me around the areas that he wanted to spend time with me was around the sport, because for him, he was an athlete and he wanted to see me succeed as an athlete, and that he drew some sort of a respect, or it was a reflection of him.
Yeah, I get that though.
Yeah. And a lot of dads are like that, right? And we all want to see our kids succeed. And that was a big part of it. And so no fault to my dad, but just as I looked at my kids and looked at my time with them, I thought about it and I said, you know, I want to be different and approach my kids in a way where I'm engaging them at their level where they are and what it is that they want to do and what's important to them, instead of it making it about me. So I just tried to flip the paradigm on them. I don't think I had a daddy wound per se, you know, this lack of a longing. And most people, even in my TED talk, when I gave that, you know, that's where, when people first heard me practicing, they said, we were expecting you to come out with this story about this tragedy of how you were like a foster kid, or you didn't have a dad growing up, or your dad wasn't there. Like, that's actually not the case. I had a really good dad. And it was more about me later in life looking back and reflecting and saying, my dad was awesome, but what could have made my dad and my relationship with him better? And how can I be different with my kids? So, and then also looking at the fathers around me and seeing just our society and the issues that are going on at a larger scale.
And I want to get to that in a second. There's a couple more questions, because I'm trying to understand if there was like a moment with your kids where you said, I need to make this intentional because I want them to have a different type of relationship. Was there a moment when you were, because, you know, I think about my son, for example. I mean, here's a great example. My son is the oldest. Your daughter just turned 10. My son is turning 10 in April. And I struggle to find things that we connect on except for sports. I have another example and again, but you know, but he's super into soccer now. And so we do a little bit of soccer. He's super into Pokemon. I'm not so much into Pokemon. He's super into Rubik's Cube. Super rad. He can solve a Rubik's Cube. Great. Like, I love it. I'm not so much into that. We're into FIFA soccer on PlayStation, but we only play that like once a week just because of parenting and limiting that time. And so I always find that as a parent, it's hard to find those things that you connect in. I say this out loud. I guess it's less about me worrying about the parent role and more about creating the fun scenario. So I didn't really have a question in that, but I was just thinking out loud as I was trying to set up a question. Because that's what you've
done. It's actually the number one question that I get asked. And it came from seeing the need in my own life with my own children. Because what I found was that I was connecting with them in the same traditional ways that every dad historically connects with their kids, right? My daughter is 10 years old and she's into hip hop. Well, like, she does hip hop dancing. I'm not going to go do hip hop dancing with her. Like, that's really hard to connect with.
Do it.
But you know what we do? We have epic dance parties in our house.
Yeah.
And you know, the kids get into it. And of course, to make it epic, you got to have like glow sticks and you got to, and we make it epic. Right.
Yeah.
So what I found was that, I just looked at it and said, I can connect with my kids in all those traditional ways. And it's easy to connect with them and the things that they're interested in. You know, you can go out and practice a sport with them, or if they're interested in, you know, computers or what have you, you can do that. What I tried to do was to say, how can I create memory burns in their lives where they look back and they say, you know what, like, my dad was intentional. My dad maybe is like, I'm a dork with my kids. They're like, Dad, you are so weird. They tell me that all the time. But half the stuff I come up with, it's just in my own mind sitting back saying, if I were my kids, mm-hmm. what would make them just think this is so over the top? And I'll give you a couple of examples. So we've got this trampoline in our backyard. The trampoline's been a phenomenal asset to our family because it's so easy to get him in there, lock the, shut the net, and we can just all play and have lock them in, and we have contained fun together. But I mean, we've had more fun on that trampoline, but eventually the trampoline gets old. So how do you take it to the next level? Well, we decided to do a bubble wrap battle. So I went to Lowe's, I bought those jumbo rolls of bubble wrap, like when you're moving your house. And I created sumo ninja suits for all my kids and wrapped them up in all this bubble wrap. And then we went and had these epic battles on the trampoline when they were all wrapped up in these bubble wrap sumo suits. And like, they talk about that all the time. That's one of our YouTube videos. And
so how do you not repeat it, right? So if it's something they really enjoyed, like I find with my kids, we do something really fun, epic dance party or like wrestling or whatever it is that's fun and silly, then they just don't stop asking for it.
So. Yeah. So then it has to be a continuation of, well, we've already done that. It's always me being proactive, right? Like I don't give them any choice in the matter, because if I give them a choice, they're always going to go back and gravitate to something they've done before. And it's been interesting because I think that's the biggest challenge. When you ask your kids, hey, what do you guys, it's Saturday, I'm making myself available, what do you guys want to do? What do they say? I don't know, dad, whatever. Or let's go play video games, or let's go do this or that. That's what kids will naturally do. So what I found was, if I could jumpstart that process and say, hey guys, here's what we're doing, here's the plan, here's what's going to happen, then I get their engagement. So just by being intentional on my end creates the engagement on their end. And then none of us are sitting there asking the question of what do we do today? It just happens. And then naturally, because we're all together having fun, it just becomes epic in its own right.
So let me ask then a different type of question. How has it impacted your relationship with them from a parenting style?
So the biggest challenge that I face as a parent, and you can probably relate to this with four children as well, is that, you know, I've got two kids at the upper end of the spectrum and two kids at the lower end of the spectrum. So 10, 8, 5, and 3. Oldest is a girl, and then 3 boys in a row.
Dude, we are the exact same almost.
Really? Yeah. So when we put each other, you know, you can relate to this then, in that I found that the hardest thing that I have is I've got two kids on the upper end who they're far beyond the teaching or the training phase. They're now in the teaching phase. So instead of telling them to stop or not to do something, I have to now explain why and talk about the bigger impact on life, or talk about, you know, a principle or a foundational concept. Whereas the younger two, it's like, no, don't do that because you're going to get hurt. Like, stop, because that's going to end in a bad result. And they're not at the age where I have to, they're at the training phase. They're not at teaching phase yet. And with four kids at both ends of the spectrum, I was constantly going back and forth. And it was really hard to slow myself down with the two older kids and spend the time teaching them and talking about those higher level concepts and principles. And I'm a driver by nature. It's my personality. So it was a real struggle of mine. And so what I found was that when we started to do these events together, I got to see all of them interacting together. And it's caused me to be able to find things in their personalities, find things in their, and just the way that they do life and they want to be engaged, that I don't think I ever would have picked up before. It's caused me to sit there and watch my children, not only live, which is hard enough in and of itself, but because I film it, I get to watch the videos and I pick up things, or I hear things, and I interview my kids. And so I'll ask them questions like, so tell me about your favorite thing with Daddy Saturday. What's your favorite thing that Daddy does? What's Daddy's favorite food? I mean, I'll just ask them all sorts of random questions, and I get to hear their perspective on life and on me and on me as a dad. And I'll ask them, what's your favorite thing that I do with you as a dad?
But do you want to jump in though? And like, if they have a concept that you're like, well, that's not it. Like, do you correct it, or do you let them have that concept?
No, I let them have that concept, because, you know, that's more of a reflection on me than it is on them. And I believe that far more is caught than taught. And so, you know, I'm always interested in seeing what are they catching from me, because I can teach someone blue in the face and talk to them. And, you know, with your kids, they absorb like a fraction of a percent of what you actually say to them. You know, far more is what they see me do. Every night I tuck all my kids into bed. I tell these ridiculous bedtime stories, especially to the boys. And, you know, I have characters and themes, and I it's the same routine, and I give them this good night in the same way every night. I give them a chance to kind of give me that feedback. And, you know, it's been amazing just to have that. And, you know, so it's changed my relationship in so many ways, James, because it's caused me to focus on being a dad. It's caused me to focus on peak performance as a dad and looking at all those different areas of my life and their life and our relationship together and say, how can I do this better? How can I take this to the next level? How can I be more intentional? And I've applied that to my professional life for so many years, to fitness and health and other areas of my life. I've never applied it to being a dad. And so to really answer your earlier question, I think that's the biggest change that it's done for me, is it's just created this intense focus on fatherhood.
And so, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about a couple of things. So, you know, I have a lifestyle coach or a business coach. I'm not really sure where she falls in the spectrum there, but she's somewhere. And we meet, and a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this idea of these different roles that you have to play. And one of them for me was this dad role, where I felt like I had to be kind of stern and strict, because that's the way I was, you know. And then the other side of that are the dads who are super laissez-faire, like pretty giddy, easygoing. And I always struggle with, like, well, which one is better in the long term, right? And which one, like that fun dad that you are and the silly dad, how do you marry that with the disciplined dad? Or is that kind of a, is that kind of a role between you and your wife?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you're that's probably the best question I've ever been asked. And it's the biggest challenge that I have as a dad, because listen, and this podcast should not be all about how perfect I am as a dad. Cause man, I am far from perfect.
Cause I have dad envy going on. I have some dad envy.
please don't. So I'm happy to dish on myself, and I'll dish on myself in this area because it's a challenge for me. I think that, you know, as a dad, you're constantly, you have that tension. You have a tension between work and home. You have a tension between your marriage and your role as a parent. You have a tension between your social life and your kids. And so I think so often when I have to discipline my kids, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just to make sure that I'm disciplining them for what's happened in the moment and not carry over any of that other stuff from an external situation or an environment, and then take that out on my kids in my discipline. And I'm notorious for being stressed out at work, or you know, something might have happened, and I'm insecure or frustrated with myself. And then I take that out on my kids, either in criticism or in my discipline, and maybe disciplining them by yelling at them instead of, you know, talking to them or showing them the way. And man, you know, with four kids, James, I mean, here's the other thing. I feel like I don't want our house to be one of those houses that's like yelling, but with four kids, it's just loud. And if I'm a meek and mild dad and I'm just like, hey bud, you know, come over here, it's time to sit down for dinner, like they wouldn't come. So I'm like, dinner's ready, let's go sit down, like, you know, it's time to eat, get to the table.
Yeah, but I have to wonder, Justin, if part of Saturday is a great way for you to relax as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just described your work environment as super stressful and sometimes it carries over. But man, when you can create a Saturday that you know is going to let you blow off steam and then have fun with your kids at the same time, it's like a double bonus.
It is. And so, you know, here's the thing, and that's what's so great about it, is that allows me, to your point, to come into those Saturdays and I've released everything else. Mm-hmm. So I can walk into that Saturday and say, it's all about my kids. And it gives me permission to let that other stuff go. And that's freed me up to do that. I mean, I discipline my kids all day long on Saturdays. I think that one of the blessings of this platform taking off is that eventually I would love to have a camera crew that would be able to film this so that I don't have to do it on my GoPro and I can actually be in the shots half the time, which would also allow, you know, to see some of those moments in the margins where, you know, I have plenty of constructive discipline conversations where it's like, stop hitting your brother. We're trying to shoot this shot.
Hey, I'm producing this. Come on.
Yeah, I'm producing this. Like, stop wailing on each other right now.
Do you, because I mean, I'll definitely tell you, I have like two of them probably, but is there, I'm sure I'll have like 10 more over time, but I don't want to use the word regret, but is there a redo that you would like to have when it comes to a moment with your kid where you're like, ah, that probably was a bit excessive?
Yeah. So, I have my oldest son, Blaine, is 8, just turned 8. And he is literally a spitting image of me. He is a complete pain in the rear end. I was a complete pain in the rear end. And he is so much like me that we butt heads all the time. I have two fear buttons in my life. One is fear of being invalidated. So when someone invalidates me, my blood pressure goes up, and fear of being controlled. I do not like to be controlled. My kids stomp on my fear button of being invalidated literally 20 times a day. And on Saturdays, it's even worse. They do it all the time. And so my biggest regret is oftentimes when they step on that fear button. And I think they've come to know it now. Like, they know that that just makes dad mad. So when I feel disrespected, when I feel invalidated, when I feel like they're challenging me in my role as a father and as the head of the household, then like that's difficult for me. I have like the three strikes rule, where normally you get to like three times of going through that scenario in a short time frame, and I'm pretty calm. But after you get past that third time, like I have a tendency to lose my mind. And so there was one of those moments where I lost it on my 8-year-old son, and I was yelling at him, and I was very upset, and just lack of discipline and disrespect. And he'd not done this to me, he'd done it to my wife. And you know, it was one of those moments where I look back and I'm like, that was so not constructive. Like, that is not the dad that I want to be. I do not want him viewing me when he closes his eyes at night, screaming at him like a football coach. Like, that was not the moment that I wanted. I lost my temper. I lost my cool.
Did you have a conversation with him later on after the cool down period, or? So what was it? Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And you know, you go back, and again, far more is caught than taught, right? And so if I take my own medicine, I'm looking at that going, gosh, like I would never want him to respond to something else that way.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
never want him to yell at someone else. And it wasn't constructive. And so, yeah. that's not the only time that's happened.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You know, I'm not looking for a list of them. I'm just asking if like an example. Cause you know, it's funny. So I'm notorious. You and I are very similar, Justin. We're like, being disrespected, felt like I'm not listened to is literally one of the things that whoever you are, I don't care, sets me off. And I'm much better than I used to be. I'm 43. So I've matured a little bit, not a lot, but I've matured a little bit. And one of the things that, you know, with this coach I was seeing is we were talking about the fact that I don't like the tone that I use with my kids sometimes. And it's not even necessarily the loudness. It's just the abruptness. I grew up in a house where we are Irish Catholic, touch of violence with no religion. And so it was one of these things where to be heard, you had to scream. And to get the last word in, you had to be the meanest person in the room. And fortunately for me, or unfortunately, my brother and I both were very quick-witted, and much more so than pretty much everyone else in the house. And so, you know, I take that sarcasm sometimes, and I've realized it now. So my point I'm getting to with my executive coach, I realized that the tone I use was it was unhelpful to the kids. It was unhelpful for what you said earlier of what you want them to be when they're adults, and how, more importantly, you want them to be different than you as adults. And the only way that happens is by modeling. And so with this coach, I kind of came to this realization that I needed to change my tone. And so we did two things. One, I started wearing a rubber band on my wrist. So every time I started having a negative thought or a negative tone, I snapped the wrist. And my wife totally noticed within the first 2-3 weeks of doing it that I just started like recouching my conversations, reframing them in a positive way, exhibiting way more patience when I was frustrated or annoyed. But more importantly, I saw a really significant change in our kids' relationships with me pretty quickly. My daughter, who's number 2, who's going to be 8 in March, also is a lot like me, which is unfortunate. Super cheeky. Doesn't know when to stop, doesn't listen, has an attention span of a gnat, but the biggest heart in the world. Like, I couldn't ask for a bigger hearted little girl. But my son and I, who's the oldest, this happened this weekend. And so I'd be interested in your take on this. So my whole point about this, by the way, is that I totally get the tone thing. There's been times where I've gone off the rails and I've had to like have a conversation that, you know, dad had a bad day. It's not an excuse and I'm really sorry. What you did didn't really matter and I shouldn't have got so upset or blah, 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 you know. But what's great about what you do, and I think what I do and what I hope a lot of dads do, is they take time to actually have that conversation with their kids, because my parents never did. That wasn't their generation. And I think that there was a lot of gaps in my learning from a role modeling perspective. But let me just give you one more scenario, then we'll keep going, because it happened this weekend. I'd love to get your take on this. So you remember when you were like, you know, a teenager or whatever, and your friend would have some water and you'd kind of go underneath and tap the cup and it would just spill. And it was kind of a funny like laugh moment, right? Sure. So my son had a soccer match this weekend. And so we all go as family. We try to support everyone fully in an event as a family. And so we're coming back and his friend happened to come because he was staying the night. So we were walking back to the car and he turned around and did it to his sister. But I heard him kind of say to his friend, watch this, and turned around and did it to his sister. And I lost my shit. I grabbed him. I was like, what are you doing? That is so disrespectful. And I had to like explain to him later on in the moment, because I said, what you did is funny with your friends, but you put your sister down because of your friend. And I said that you made her feel bad about herself so your friend could laugh. And I was like, this is your sister. When your friend is long gone, you're left with her. So I was like, think about that. She's the one who loves you. She's the one that would be there for you. This kid will be gone in 10 years. You know, I had to be very kind of curt about it, but I had to get him to understand that it's not the fact that he flipped the cup. It's the fact he did it to put her down and to make his friend laugh. And that's one of my also buttons, is like putting someone down to make yourself feel better. And so anyhow, that was one of my better parenting moments this week. And I did it right in public. Like I didn't say it loud. I didn't scream at him, but I grabbed him. It's like one of those voices that you have as a dad. But I don't mind doing it in public, as long as I'm not shouting and totally putting him in, as long as I'm not embarrassing him in public. Let's put it that way. I think that's wrong, but I don't mind being super stern in public. I don't have a problem with that.
So I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think it's important. We need more parents who are more stern in public, because, you know, frankly, your son's friend probably doesn't have parents that would discipline him appropriately like you just disciplined your son. And, you know, again, he's probably learning from the example that you set with your own son in that moment. And, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I'm not a fan of obviously the mom beating the kid in Walmart because he's trying to grab the cereal. But I certainly think that, you know, disciplining your children, especially if it's in front of others, is so important. And I think that's where you have to get over that fear of being invalidated and the fear of other parents looking at you and just doing what's right for your kid in the moment. Additionally, I think what you did there that was so incredible was, you know, people have those lines where it's the Kelly stick together, or, you know, the bats are closer than blood and all those little things like you're a bat, you know, you're expected to do more than that. But it's something that we've created within our own family. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing, where at the end of the day, family is all you have. And, you know, your friends are going to be gone. There's other things that are going to happen in life, but we're always going to come back together as a family. So if you can instill that in your kids at an early age, I think that's what these Saturdays together have done for us.
I can imagine that too.
You know, we're a family and we support each other, and yes, we're going to fight. Yes, there's going to be disagreements and arguments, but the one thing we don't do is ever, ever, ever put each other down, like you just said, outside of our family. It's one thing to pick on each other inside our family, but when you go outside of that, you only lift each other up and you have each other's backs and you stand for each other. And so while we're not perfect at that by any means, you know, we're certainly trying to get to that level. I think another thing, I'll give you a great story that ties into this, is we recently had, I hate to pick it on my 8-year-old, but he was at this birthday party after school. And it was at these ball fields right beside the school. So a bunch of the kids had gone out and there was a handful of parents there. And we had just had a conversation probably 2 weeks earlier about bullying. And we were talking about, he said that there was a kid that was picking on him at recess. And I told him, I said, you know, you need to stand up for yourself. You don't allow yourself to get bullied. And you know, here's how you stand up for yourself. Like, you either walk away and you go tell an adult, and that's only going to get you to a certain level. But we know on a playground, like, that stuff goes on all the time. So eventually you're going to have to stand up to who that person is and say, knock it off, or I'm going to take care of this. And I said, and you need to have the power and the authority that you know that you can do that. And, you know, I stand behind you and you're good. So he took that advice a little bit too far. And one of the kids who had been on his football team this year in flag football, where I was the coach, who was notorious for picking on other kids, was picking on him during this birthday party game of flag football. And apparently he pushed my son and kind of like punched him and kicked him and was just picking on him. So my son turned around, tackled him, and started punching him. And he hit him one time in the face. And, you know, the parents went nuts. The other kid's dad happened to be there. I was working, I had to leave work, come get him from the party. And it was this big ordeal. And I had to call and I apologized to the other dad. And we talked about it. And, you know, I told him, I said, listen, it's actually my fault. It's not my son's fault. I told him to stand up to bullies. And your son, frankly, was bullying my son. And I coached him in football, so I know it's not the first time it happened. I watched him do it to other kids. And, you know, my son acted out of character. And I never told him to hit someone in the face. And I apologize for that. Your son's okay. We're all good. And then I had to have a conversation with my son and say, look.
What did the dad say when you said your son is a bully?
He's like, what do you mean? And I said, listen, I'm only saying that because I coached him in football. Yeah. I had him for 3 months and I gave 3 clear cut examples of where I watched him pick fights with other kids and do exactly what I did to my son. I said, so look, my son was there. He was with them all year in football. He was just responding. And then, you know, we had the conversation about, look, you're a part of not only this family, but Daddy Saturday, we are putting ourselves out there as an example. All these other parents, all these other kids are looking at you and at us as we're holding ourselves to a higher standard. And so, you know, there's responsibility that comes with that. So it was an incredible teaching moment. Mm-hmm. And we actually, you know, it was kind of a blessing at the end of the day. And, you know, I can't believe he hit the kid in the face, but at the end of the day, he stood up for himself, which I was proud of. He didn't handle it appropriately. And it gave us a chance to have one of those teaching moments and have those conversations. And I'll tell you what, it actually made a huge impact on him. And his behavior has changed because of that moment. So again, it's how do you turn a negative into a positive?
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's pivot a little bit here. I mean, we haven't really talked, as you know, it's usually about your journey, but you know, I feel like this whole parenting topic is especially a dad topic. Like, there's not a lot of dads talk about being dads. It's not one of our strong suits of being emotionally connected as human beings. But you also just recently came out with a book, or it's coming out in the spring, but it's in production now, called Daddy Saturday. So basically it's based on the website. So good, consistent branding from a marketer. I think that's great. What's going to be in this book?
So I love in your previous question, how you were talking about the fact that you had some dad envy. And I think that's an important point, and that's a part of my platform, because if you notice, you said you didn't read a lot of dad books. I didn't either. Who reads dad books, right? There's like a million mom books out there. The only dad book I know is Jimmy Fallon's book about having your kid's first word be dad. You know, and so that's the only dad book I've ever read. And so I wanted to write a book for dads about how you engage your kids and be intentional and address some of the challenges that you've brought up and that I certainly have struggled through and still struggle with as a dad. And a lot of that is, how do you be intentional with your kids? How do you create that time where they want to spend time with you? What ideas do you even come up with? How do you come up with those ideas? So part of it is just me providing solutions. Other parts of it are really creating a new philosophy for what an intentional dad is and how that dad raises good kids that become great adults. And I break that down throughout the book. And then I end the book with 52 ideas for fathers to engage their kids on Saturdays. So I give you the practical application of what you need to do. And then, you know, the next step and some exciting news for the platform is we're going to create the Daddy Saturday Dad Box. And it'll be a curated box that you receive monthly, depending upon the ages and gender of your kids. It'll have ideas, activities, and done for you resources for how you engage your kids on those weekends. So for a dad, now you can purchase into a program that allows you to have all those assets at your fingertips. And the book unpacks a lot of that.
Mm, that's awesome. All right, last question, and thank you for your time, Justin. For where you're at, what you do, how do you define happiness?
Oh, well, I'll define happiness within the context of Daddy Saturday. And that is when I hear my kids talking about Daddy Saturday to other kids, or telling them that they have a YouTube channel, or exemplifying the type of behavior that I wanted to encourage without me prompting them to do it, and knowing that it's something that I said or we did together, and now that's coming out, and just seeing the expressions on their faces, knowing that they're safe, they're happy, they're healthy, and they love where they are in life. That for me is happiness. You know, my legacy is my children. My legacy will be the impact that I have on other fathers. And so for me, it's seeing that in my own kids and that expression of their happiness. I'll tell you that we just did a Spartan race, James, and I had the good fortune of meeting Joe DeSena, the CEO, and he challenged me to do one, and I brought the kids along. And you know, part of that was for them to see me conquer something, but also they got to do the race themselves for the kids Spartan, and they conquered something themselves. They overcame something. They pushed themselves to a level they didn't think. And I've got the pictures to prove it, but seeing them and talking to them afterwards, like, that was happiness. Yeah. And we try to recreate that every single Saturday.
So my two anecdotes, I've actually interviewed Joe for my podcast, and my kids did the Spartan race in Hatta, UAE last year. So totally great event, and what a great way for them to experience something a little bit different and fun and crazy. Listen, I could talk to you for hours, Justin. So I'm going to sign off here and say Justin Batt, CEO, founder of Daddy Saturdays, as well as chair of the health and, oh, it's a longer title, but it's at Forbes Books, Health and Sports at Forbes Book. Thank you for your time, energy, and willingness to sit down with me on Executives After Hours.
Thank you, James.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, there it is, Mr. Justin Batt, founder of Daddy Saturdays and chair of the health and sports business at Forbes Books. Also, remember, go to my website and subscribe. Stay up to date what's going on. Learn about the new book. Learn about how you can get it in pre-order here in the next few weeks. And just get on the bandwagon, man. Let's learn how your crucible is actually your gift, right? All right. Have an awesome week. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. See you.